Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shout out to camera John Ritchie, 94 WIP. I had a lot to get to today, including as we discuss the likelihood of the NFL playoffs expanding. I'm just curious where people stand. I'm going to give you two concepts that perhaps are competing and wonder where people stand. The first is that more is better. More games, more of a chance. If it's halfway through the year and you haven't had a great year, more of a chance to make the playoffs, more of a chance to still be alive for a championship, right? For that average kind of team in sports. So more of that, right? Or the other concept, which is excellence matters. Excellence matters. I'm just curious where people come down as a fan as it pertains to the NFL, the likelihood of the expanded playoffs from six teams to seven in each conference. Let's get teams 13 and 14 in there. Really need them. Where do you stand on that compared to excellence matters and let's honor a regular season? All right, let's roll the phones. 888-729-9494. What do you make of it all? Let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on WIP. David.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How are you?
Good
morning, Dave.
Hey, you know what? As I stroll out of my bistro with my McDonald's sandwich, and I'm listening to what you guys are saying.
Yep.
I like the idea of owners being greedy enough to add more teams. I like the idea. What I don't like is mediocrity. And I think that's what we're coming down to.
Well, of course you are. So you're talking to me here out of both sides. So you like it? I mean, you deal with it, but you don't love it. But, I mean, where do you come down here? Because you're going to get mediocrity in the playoffs. So do you want expansion in the NFL playoffs or not?
I want to see more teams in it, but I'm also worried as the type of person I am, the health issue. You know, you're adding more teams, more games. You know, at some point, guys are going to start falling. You know, football isn't like basketball or baseball.
Right.
You know, it's a collision sport. And I'm very worried about the injury aspect. And I don't think the Players Association is going to really fly by. They're going to have to really do a good sell on that.
Yeah, well, the owners are going to offer them money, and the players are either going to say yes or no, and they'll negotiate it. So, I mean, it's really – go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You bring up an excellent point. And let's use last season as a barometer.
Yep.
Were the Eagles a mediocre team?
For the most
part. They
were
9-7.
Yeah, I mean
– Okay.
To me, this is just me. I look at a 9-7 and 10-6 very differently. I think 10-6 is far more impressive than 9-7. That's just the way I look at football. But go ahead.
Well, that's my point. I mean, have we gotten to the point now where we're embracing mediocrity instead of superiority?
Exactly right.
You know,
yeah.
Generalizing this and saying that you're embracing mediocrity if you add a seventh team to each conference is absurd. Every year you've got teams who miss the playoffs with better records than division winners. You're saying, like, what you're pretending is not going to always be the case. In fact, I think it will rarely be the case. I think that is supported by the fact that someone went back and looked at the stats yesterday. And, you know, the number of 8-8 teams making the playoffs over the last 20 years under this new format would have been two. Mediocrity to me is 8-8.
Well,
9-7. I don't agree with you, Joe. I don't think there's a huge difference between a 9-7 team and a 10-6 team. You've always got circumstances that dictate this sort of thing. Like that 9-7 team could have just gotten their starting quarterback back after having him out for 2 months.
That's totally possible.
You know, you have to allow a little bit of flexibility for those sorts of storylines for teams.
I'll ask this question, James. I want to ask this to you, and John, I want to ask this to you. I'm just curious your answer. Do you guys think, as a sports fan, that a 9-7 NFL team, and I'm going to use the word, deserves to make the playoffs as a third wild card?
Sure, why not?
I guess you find out when they play the two seed. If they don't deserve, then they lose.
No, they'll win sometimes.
It depends on the year, you know. If they're the seventh best team, sure.
I'll give you my answer to your question of why not. Because you just had 4 months of football. So why
9-7 isn't a horrendous record.
No, it's not. It's not horrendous. But it's also far from excellent. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, forget just excellent. Excellent's 12-4. It's, you know, it's far from great. It's near good. I mean, it's like,
come on, man.
I mean, we just saw a nine and seven Titans team almost go to the Super Bowl.
That's my point, though. That's my point. They got hot.
I disagree with your point. That's the point. I think it's fine for it. If they get hot at the right time. Look, players get healthy, things work out. Like John said, they're mitigating factors. It doesn't mean they're a bad football team and don't deserve to be there.
Here's what I think. I think this all, honestly, I really do, across all legs, I think it goes back to Pete Rozelle. He won a parity. He was brilliant in that because he recognized, unlike Major League Baseball, where the New York Yankees win like 37 straight World Series, right? He didn't want that, right? By the way, the baseball owners didn't want that anymore either. That's why you get expansion. If you took the New York Yankees from the 1950s, right, or the 1920s and 30s, and you had 12 teams or whatever it is make the baseball playoffs, they won't win 10 straight times. Or, you know, we want to say 10. Yogi Berra won't have 10 World Series because you get clipped sometimes. You get clipped by a Cardinals team in 2011 when the Phillies have 100. You would get clipped
sometimes. I'm good with that, though. That is more fun.
I know
that
you
is
are.
More entertaining to watch. It's more fun to follow. More people involved. More fan bases involved. I think that's all good for the sport.
All right, we'll see what people
think.
By the way,
how are we 30 minutes into the show and we haven't commented on the fact that you're wearing sunglasses on your forehead? What is going on?
Well, I mean, I'm feeling good.
What is going on right now?
It's a good point, Jimmy.
I'm feeling good.
I haven't been able to think about anything else for the first 30 minutes.
I've gotten to where I just dismiss this sort of thing.
I laugh at all you fools.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Joe, why on the forehead instead of... away.
Do you want the truth?
I mean, I have sunglasses. They're in my bag.
Do you want the truth?
Sure.
Because I'm feeling really good.
Oh, man.
That's the answer.
So what? But how does that correlate to wearing sunglasses on your forehead?
Yeah, is that like, do you think you look cool or something?
Do you think that makes you, do you think that like exemplifies the way that you're feeling? Sunglasses on your forehead make you look cooler and you feel cool?
No, it's not about cooler.
So that's why you're doing it?
It's just 24 hours ago, I was really stressed. And about 21 hours ago, I became really unstressed.
So why do you put sunglasses on your forehead?
Yeah, I don't get the correlation here.
Correlation is feeling good. Let's go to the phones.
Weird.
Feeling good.
It doesn't make sense.
Let's go to...
I don't put sunglasses on my forehead when I'm feeling good.
No.
All right, Dennis in Mount Laurel. What's up, Dennis?
Hammer, how you doing today, son?
Oh, you better believe outstanding.
Yeah, well, congratulations on your acquittal yesterday.
Thank you, sir.
And, well, you're lucky it wasn't Howard Erskine, because last night he said he would have fried you and hung you.
Yeah, well, you're right.
You know,
you got the right.
Dennis, something is lost. You forget Joe is forbidden to go to batting practice.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he's the real loser here.
That's a big deal.
I agree.
He lost out yesterday.
We're going to be on the field for batting practice, and he's going to be either not there or sitting in the stands by himself or whatever, and it's going to be awesome.
I just keep thinking all you had to do was submit to, like, some hair getting pulled out, and you could have been at batting practice too. Instead, you're going to –
John, he won't be at batting practice. He'll be in the trainer's room.
Well, he will. You're right.
Dennis, sitting in the stands with my feet up on the chair in front of me, just chilling, 5:30 in the afternoon. All right, Dennis, talk to me. What do you got here, man?
I'm going to give you an easy one that you're going to figure this out. 40 years ago tomorrow, what happened?
Miracle on Ice. Miracle on Ice.
You got it.
Yeah, big deal. Big deal. I was going to bring that up later on. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
I was listening to that. I was actually watching it. It was on a tape delay because they wouldn't play it live because it was in the afternoon. They played it at night. And what a the entire country just went crazy. Yeah. It was the biggest upset. And most people don't realize that wasn't even for the gold medal.
Right. And it wasn't live on TV. You know, Dennis, it's one of the main things of my life. I mean, I was alive, but I was two, so I have no recollection. That it's one of those main things in kind of like history that I wish I had experienced, you know, as a fan. I just have no memory of it.
Well, that's going to go down, you know, in sports, but I think the couple biggest ones were the moon landing and JFK for me.
Well, obviously, yeah. But Miracle on Ice from a sports standpoint is a big one. By the way, speaking of ice, big win by the Flyers last night, man.
I watched that in the overtime. That goal was incredible. The one guy, the defensive guy, should have gone over and got him. The other guy pointed to go get him. He didn't.
Well, it's also what happens in 3-on-3 hockey. I mean, let's be real. There's a reason why there's a ton of ice space out there. But no, it was a cool goal. It was a great comeback. I mean, you come back from 2-0 down, you win a game like that against a team like Columbus, who you're directly competing against.
And down 3-1, too.
Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous. Absolutely awesome job last night by the Flyers. 888-729-9494. Twitter poll question of the day. Brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. You can watch and wager on all pro and college sports at the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook, region's number one sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, do you like the NFL's proposed idea of expanding the playoffs? A, yes, B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey is with us. What's up, Mike?
John, OJ, how you doing?
I'm
I say
good.
OJ because much like OJ, Joe was improperly acquitted. Maybe you guys should think about pursuing him civilly, you know, because OJ was found responsible civilly. But talk about it.
So we should sue Joe.
Oh, what a.
We could.
Sue what?
Yeah.
Maybe Jimmy and I should sue Joe.
I'm getting out of the business.
I would pursue civil recourse because,
Mike, I'll ask you a simple question, sir.
Yeah.
Do you believe justice was served yesterday?
Oh.
Absolutely not.
No.
I'll use a term that Spike Eskin's father uses all the time when I refer to Spike and his decision. He's a dope. He didn't understand anything. I mean, all my years in law enforcement and stuff, I who should have judged this was the one, who was it, Bernadette, the 77-year-old quadriplegic that had more hits than you? She should have been.
Yeah, but Mike,
Bonnie Strang?
Yeah, but
is that her name?
Strang, I believe.
Yes.
Mike, I don't think the issue was with the judge, who did a fine job. I think the prosecution did a poor job of getting into the heart of the case. I mean, they were doing all this random stuff trying to belittle me.
Is Bonnie Strang a better baseball player than you are?
No. But she does.
Clearly, she is.
She's got more experience. She's got more experience.
Clearly better.
No, hey, can we arrange for a
hit off?
Yeah.
Go in the cage.
Let's do a home run derby with
Bonnie Strang.
Oh, I would love that. Can I be honest? I'd love to see Bonnie versus John. I think Bonnie would actually beat John.
There's no way I would ever do that. I guarantee Bonnie's better than I am.
Yeah, and John's not lying, by
the
way.
Man.
Mike, I'm just telling you, as a free man, I'm proud of my counsel yesterday. Milt Thompson was phenomenal. And in all seriousness, I mean, I thought the prosecution.
Wait,
I will be honest. You were guilty. Should have been guilty. It is a travesty of justice, but I do think the prosecution failed. The prosecution did you were more prepared than the prosecution was.
Well, he obviously cared more.
Yeah.
The prosecution
were focused on the
awesome
case
points
and they had fun
about
at your expense.
Him.
Which
right.
was great.
Right.
But
you think about it, guys.
I get it.
They did not bring up one legal example of a bet being a bet. They could have cited any number of things through the years.
Yep. Yeah.
They didn't bring any legal terms to the table.
That was required.
Well, I'm just saying their approach was belittle Joe and get some laughs.
And I enjoyed that.
Okay, their duty to the state.
Maybe they accomplished their duty.
Their duty to the state was to, you know, prove the case, and frankly, they didn't.
Was it?
Yeah, they didn't prove the case.
I thought they brought me a lot of joy And so I appreciate their role. And,
I appreciated it also. I was glad they were on the other side. Let's go to Chuck in Coatesville. What's going on, Chuck?
Joe, I usually side with John on the expansion of football. Mm-hmm. But no, I believe you got it right.
Absolutely, Chuck. Absolutely.
Chuck, don't you feel like you're just being a traditionalist here for the sake of being traditional? You can't see the benefits, the potential rewards that we as fans would receive watching an additional playoff game?
No, all I see is greed from the owners, a watered down product, and then you're going to have the. This is a sport where it's not touch football, and they're so worried about injuries, and they're going to put more games out there for more injuries. Hey, I remember when I used to watch baseball years ago, there was talent out there. Now it's so watered down, I don't even watch it anymore. You got minor league players playing major league baseball.
Well, there's talent, Chuck. Look, I mean, on one hand, you can say teams have been expanded. On the other hand, you can say it's much more of an international game than it was 40 and 50 years ago. And so you have more players you're drawing. You know, you have many more people you're drawing from. I've heard that point that you just made before. Honestly, I don't buy it. I really don't. I mean, think about a sport like the NBA. Like, yeah, you got more teams. You also have like 100 more countries you draw from now. So of course the talent level goes up.
It's still not the product that I remember.
Well, it's not the product you remember. I mean, Chuck, I appreciate the phone call, man. John, I guess that's the traditionalist guy right there, right? He said it. It's not the product I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for,
well,
you
that's
know.
What you're saying, too.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And he said exactly what you said. But it's about greed. I believe that your perception that this is all about the owners making more money is influencing your outlook on the whole deal.
It does influence it. I mean, it's the wrong reason. Listen, you should expand the playoffs if you think it's the right thing to do.
Well, can it be both?
It can be. I don't think it is.
I do. I believe, yes, they are going to make more money. The owners love it. Yes, we've been told now for years that 17 games is on the horizon. There's no getting around it. This could be what's right. This could be the evolution of a game that we already love getting better.
Could be.
I choose that side.
Yeah.
And I want to see it in action. I think it's going to be awesome to have those three playoff games the first wild card weekend. Watching the 2 seed play against the 7 seed is yet another quality game, in my opinion. You look at the teams, like when you go, if you go back and match those potential teams up over the last years, and a lot of people have done that, like it's intriguing matchups. They are good games. And having one team in each conference that gets a bye truly makes it that much more desirable, that much more important.
Yep.
That much, like, you are willing as an organization to risk more to get that 1 seed, to have that bye. Only the best of the best get it. That rest is going to pay dividends, and teams will play longer and deeper, you know, into the season, and we'll see better football as a result.
All right, 888-729-9494. What do you make of that? Also up ahead, Joel Embiid declaring himself the best player in the world. What we make of that, we'll address it next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, let me tell you this. Why address it next when there's no commercial break? And we can address it now. John Ritchie, after the game last night, Joel Embiid talking about himself and, feeling good. And look, he looked great. I mean, that's the game they don't.
I thought physically.
Oh, he looked the best.
Not only did he look in shape, but I thought he looked skinnier. I know he got a haircut and he shaved. It was more than that. Initially, I thought, I'm imagining things. I'm, like, projecting what I want from Joel onto Joel. He was more dialed in. I think the whole All-Star weekend experience has triggered something.
I agree.
And you're going to see – now, I don't know how long it'll last because I am beginning to lose faith that he can maintain.
Well, but it's good to see that
he
looked last night like the Joel Embiid player of last year.
I feel like, yes.
Right?
And I think it's more than that. Like, I think the way that he was helped – first of all, by the fact that Ben wasn't playing, because, you know, you're in that half-court offense and there is no plan B. That helps, certainly. But him coming back, there were times where it was rough for both sides. I mean, it looked like you'd see, you were watching teams who'd had a long layoff.
Yep.
But when he came in the fourth quarter and he's hustling down to make plays on the defensive end, when he's hustling down to get the, you know, down low on the offensive side and then getting fouled, going to the line to shoot foul shots, you tell me, did he look different physically to you?
100%.
There's not a doubt in my mind he has put work in during this little break that he had not done previously. You know, maybe it's getting on a stationary bike, getting that additional cardio. Like, he's found something in his routine that is going to help him for the long haul.
Yeah.
And we saw the immediate
benefits. The long haul. See, that's the thing. It's right now.
Well, I hope.
And it might help him for the next week or two or three. What we don't know
is
if it gets triggered back the other way. I think one of the things that really stands out to me, and, you know, here's what, and again, he played, you know, probably his best game of the year last night. And I agree with you, John. I think the All-Star game helped him. I really think also the Sixers' recent struggles helped him, because the sense I have,
getting called out.
Getting called out, and my guess, and this is obviously just a guess, I think he's ready to just go back to being the old Embiid, everybody else be damned. Meaning, like, up until the fight with Karl Anthony Towns, he's, and I'm talking about for a couple of years, he's Embiid, he's tweeting, right? He's doing theatrics on the court, he's doing shimmies, he's doing this, he's just kind of doing what he wants. He's saying crazy stuff, he's saying truthful stuff, right? And he's just kind of living life fun on his own terms, kind of Gronk-like. Well, then everyone said, well, you got to grow up. And he tried, and in some ways maybe did, but the reality is I don't think he, this is just my guess, plays his best when he's feeling like he's got to draw within the lines. I think he likes going outside the lines.
I agree with you.
So he's starting to, and he's showing this over the last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks. He's like, well, the heck with all that. Why am I drawing inside the lines? I want to draw outside the lines. So last night you get another example, or a new example, if you will, of kind of the old ways of Embiid drawing outside the lines. So what does he say after the game? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I kind of chuckle at this because he's not, but I also sort of embrace the fact that Embiid's getting back to his roots of just being Embiid, right? Being Gronk, just doing nutso stuff. Here's what he said after the game last night. He said, the All-Star game, just proving I'm here, I belong, and being the best player in the world. I just intend to keep coming out here. And then he just goes on and on.
Yeah.
Being the best player in the world. Like, he said it. Now, is he? No. Can he be? Yeah, maybe someday. Is he amongst the top five or six when in shape? Absolutely. Is he amongst the top 15? When he's not in shape, when he's not in shape. I mean, it does go to show you, when he was averaging 23 points and 9 rebounds in the first 50 games without being in shape, it shows you how amazing a player the guy is. But then you say, well, think about when he is in shape. And that's what you got last night, where you get this monster performance, you know, high 30s, 15, 16 rebounds. It's a great reminder of how great he can be.
Yeah.
And maybe he's at his best, John, when he just draws outside the lines and talks, and he did some shaking stuff last night, you know, pregame, right before, I mean, I say pregame, I mean like 10 seconds before the ball's being tipped. TNT's coverage shows him coming from off the sideline towards center court, and he's like doing, I don't know what he was doing, some kind of gyration thing. Like, he was feeling good. And I think he plays better when he acts that way.
I have, I agree. He is innately a little bit of a troll. And that's what he did
a little bit
after the game. I mean, he trolled everybody. he intentionally put it out there. I'm the best player in the world, just in conversation. That's what the Joel we know and love does. And I'm telling you, I think he was going the other direction a little too much, and I think it was intentional.
It was definitely,
you know, like when he was told after the Karl Anthony Towns thing that you need to behave, you need to be more mature, you can't have lapses like this. He said, okay, you're going to tell me I got to be a certain way? I'll be that way, and I'll be so that way that you don't like what you get. I think he was childish in his response initially, and he held on to that. He was stubborn with that. And where did that land him? It landed him where the first time in the history of Joel Embiid's, you know, career, you got as many people in town who are saying trade him as are saying keep him.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, a week ago on our show, people were hot, man.
It was
hot.
An unprecedented level of disdain for Joel Embiid, and I can't imagine that he felt comfortable in those shoes. He realized that he'd gone too far.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to normalize this and get back to what made him the beloved figure that we all adore.
Yep.
So I think this is just a natural process. He's trying to figure out where he needs to be in you know, a mental from a mindset perspective and from a physical playing perspective. Like, that's a constant work in progress. We're all aware of that. But I had no problem with what he said. I liked what he said. Like I said,
I mean, it is preposterous.
It was the ultimate troll.
It's ridiculous, but at the same time, like, if it gets him going for now, I'll take it. Look, there might not be a point later where I'm going to say, Joel, you got to knock it off, right? Because you do look ridiculous. I mean, you do look ridiculous at times when you say stuff that's absurd.
Like, you know what this compares to?
What?
Glasses on the forehead. Sunglasses on the forehead. He was wearing his sunglasses on his forehead.
I might
last
put them
night.
On my eyes. Might do the show with glasses. You know, indoor look glasses. Yeah, I put right there. Bang. Now they're.
Have you thought about getting new sunglasses?
No. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Those are kind of like I'm
starting to think about.
Those are like cycling glasses, aren't they?
Yeah,
they were cool like 20 years ago.
I know. That's very me. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike and Broomall. Mike, what's up, man?
Oh, hey guys, hold on, let me take off speaker.
You got it, Mike.
Hey guys, how you guys doing today, man? Great games last night.
I'll say, especially,
to be honest with you, I didn't watch any of the Sixers game. I was more dialed in on the Flyers and watching Kevin Hayes with the belt.
Huge. And the Flyers
was awesome.
Game was, I mean, that was massive.
Intense.
I mean, that was a humongous victory.
I mean, were you as dissatisfied as I was that Carter Hart wasn't in goal? I felt like, well, he had plenty of rest. It just seemed like an arbitrary decision, and then you give up two goals, and it felt like, man, that was a dumb move. Now what are we going to do?
Yeah, but Elliott's been
somehow they
Elliott's
pulled
been,
out.
Elliott's been pretty darn good this year. So I trust him enough that I was okay with that. I really was.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, John. So they have the next three at home, and I think Carter Hart's going to play all three because his home record is phenomenal, and he struggles on the road for whatever reason, the same reason the Sixers struggle on the road. And Elliott's pretty solid on the road, so I think he played. I wanted Carter Hart to play last night, but I said I think he's going to play Elliott just because they're on the road. And, Elliott didn't even play that. He didn't play horrendous. The first goal was he would want back. The second goal by Foligno was just ridiculous. Like, he went for the poke check, and Foligno put the puck in between
crazy
his legs and put the stick in between his legs and roofed it. That was, coming from, I love hockey, man. And I was like, wow, that was sick, man. That's good stuff right there.
That was great stuff is what
but
it was.
Yeah. Then they killed off that 5-on-3 in the end of the second, the beginning of the third. And I'm like, you know what? They're going to come back, and they're going to win this game.
Big time, man.
That totally swung the game. That was, you don't realize what a 5-on-3 kill will do. Because if you don't score, you're like, oh, man. But if you make that kill, especially with that much time at a 5-on-3, that's a huge lift. And then, G had the power play goal. I think that tied it. He won.
Well,
the
that was a rocket, man.
That was a rocket.
That reminded me of his goal. I don't know if you remember, 2012 playoffs. I think it was against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Devils.
Oh,
it was the Pittsburgh one when he hit the post and went right in, right?
When it clanged.
That was the shift.
That was when he laid out Crosby.
That's what I thought.
He laid out Crosby, the puck came down, they came back in, he cut right to the middle, went right around somebody, and then rifled it far down.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. All right, good Mike, great stuff, man. And look, it's awesome what the Flyers are doing. I mean, now it starts getting fun, right? Because now you can start seeing the playoffs. Like, it's coming up. Now it's far from a sure thing. They got some work to do, obviously, still to get there. But now you start envisioning possibilities of some fun April nights and some fun April weekends where the Flyers are going to play a game, whether you get a round, whether you get to it, you see how far it goes. I mean, they're playing good hockey right now. 888-729-9494. John, it was a couple years ago the great Alan Rickman passed away. He was a great actor, certainly played one of the great villains of all time in Hans Gruber and Die Hard. Fascinating character, phenomenal, huge role in Die Hard. and an incredible villain in that movie. One of the great villains of all time. You know, we have a $75 gift card to give away today to IKEA. Don't miss the IKEA After Dark event. It's taking place on Saturday at IKEA. You'll find everything you need to get a better night's sleep, and you can meet at the IKEA in Conshohocken. You can meet John Ritchie. That's right, John Ritchie, 4 to 6 this Saturday at the IKEA in Conshohocken. All right, John, yeah. In honor of the great, yeah, it'll be fun out there, right?
It will.
In honor of the great Alan Rickman as Hans Gruber. Curious, John, from you, James, and everyone at 888-729-9494. Best villain. When you think of a villain, when you think of a villain's villain, like you get all the villains in the same room, who's the guy they all look at or gal and say, oh, that's the ultimate villain? Like that, like to me, this is just me. Darth Vader walks in the villain room. Darth Vader owns the room. Darth Vader owns the room. There is no way you take the top 1,000 villains of all time, put them all in the same room. There's no way as Darth Vader walks in that room that anybody's going to be looking at anything other than Darth Vader.
I don't know, man. If Thanos walks in that room and he can snap and make Darth Vader disappear.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I'm not saying this is all about power. I'm just saying who's the ultimate villain. All right, James, when you think of a great villain, best answer wins the IKEA tickets. $75 card. Who do you got?
Well, besides the villain of WIP, Joe DiCamera, is that, ooh, you know.
I am rocking.
He's villain.
Sunglasses are now on.
No, I'll take one off the board because I would not be able to vote for it. He who must not be named.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Voldemort.
That's a good one.
Okay. All right. 888-729-9494. Best answer wins the IKEA $75 gift card. Let's go to Kevin in Brookhaven. What's up, Kev?
John and the Weasel. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, Kevin.
Dude, I just got to point this out just now. I'm disappointed in Spike, WIP, the whole judicial system, everything. I feel like we just really, really got one over on
you're
us
not
yesterday.
The you're not the only person disappointed. I can tell you that. Social
feels
media.
Feels like we were swindled. But then I remember we get to go to batting practice. We.
That is a
meaning,
positive.
You know, you, if you win the contest that we're going to cook up, you and me and Jimmy and Joe will not be there. And we'll have a great time.
We should FaceTime Joe while we're there, too, just so you can see how much fun we're having.
Yeah, you're right. From right next to Bryce Harper. What's that?
You know what we should do, John, to make ourselves feel better today? We should make today National Shame Joe DiCamera Day. Just so we can all let it all out and get it off our chest. Like, I'll start off first. Joe,
shame.
You disappoint me in the way.
Shame.
Yep, shame.
Shame.
Shame. So you disappoint me in a way because you always take baths and all. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, just dude, be a grown man, stand up in the shower and do it right, all right? And then stop doing puzzles, all right? Build like a birdhouse or something.
Well, I'm working on a puzzle now. I mean, not right now, but I got one at home getting near the end.
What is it, of a weasel?
Oh, you know, I don't even remember what it is, actually. Oh, I think it's a nativity scene. Yeah, it's a nativity scene puzzle.
Oh. Yeah.
But I wanted to just make a quick comment with the whole NFL expanding the playoffs and everything like that. Dude, I'm all for it. Bring in 10 teams in the playoffs now. Make it like 52 games. Do a game every – I love it. I love all the football I can get.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever they can throw out there, I'll take more of it.
Yeah, at base value, I feel the same way. I do think there's a limit to the greatness. Like, you know, you can't water it down too much. But I feel like more games equals more enjoyment for me. And I can't understand. I feel like you're trying too hard to be the devil's advocate if you're pleading otherwise, Joe. I feel like you've got a bone to pick with the idea that it's changing, and you have a bone to pick with the money-making aspect of the whole thing. Like, do you really see yourself being up in arms against the idea of another good playoff game between a 2 seed and a 7 seed?
I mean, I'll watch it, and I'll be all into it. It'll be a Saturday or Sunday in January. It'll be fun, but again, I just think it devalues the regular season. Honestly,
I was just saying, the best part is, even if they brought in like 10 teams in the playoff, we know the Cowboys still aren't going to make the playoffs. So.
All right, Kevin, give me a great villain.
All right. This guy, you know how villains usually, like, they want power, they want money, something like that? All this dude wanted was death. And that's the most villainous villain you can get, and that's the Night King.
Oh, the Nike. All right, Kevin.
Good answer.
Jeez. Appreciate the call,
for sure.
That yeah. is a good answer.
He just wanted the end. He wanted it all to end.
Yeah, no, that's a very good answer. No doubt about it. 888-729-9494. Coming up, social media had, let's just say, a lot to say after yesterday's show.
Yeah, you could say that.
Most reaction, James, maybe show's ever gotten?
Without question,
right?
The most reaction we've gotten.
All right, some of the interesting tweets and Facebook posts and all that, we'll get to that up ahead next. We'll rock all the calls. Do you like the expansion of the NFL playoffs? I hate it. What do you make of that? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Embiid, what do you make of Embiid last night? He's getting back to his own old ways. It's good to see him in shape. It's good to see him feeling good. He's talking a little bit of nonsense, but, hey, if that gets him going for now, I'm okay with it. Joe, but I laugh at it. He's not the best player in the world. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
It's no secret. I'm Philly proud working here all these years. I love the home team, so I choose the home team at Parx Casino as my sports book. They're right here in Bucks County. They're the only sports book run by the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania. You got so many ways to wager. Spreads, props, parlays, teasers, live in-game betting, and so many of you great Philly fans have already joined me and the home team at Parx Casino and Sportsbook right here in the Delaware Valley. Go to Parx in Bensalem. Be transported to opulence. You'll feel like you're in Las Vegas, and you can sit right in the sportsbook with the massive screens all around to watch the Sixers play, wager on the game. Coming up, you can watch the Phils play right there in the sportsbook. You get hungry. You got great restaurants. You feel like watching a show. They got comedy. They got top flight musical concerts. Everything right at your fingertips. And if you can't make it there, just download the Parx Casino Sportsbook app or go to parxcasino.com/PA. Use my promo code BIRDS. You'll get your first risk-free bet up to $500. Your risk-free bet is refunded as a free bet and account credit. See website for details. Use my promo code BIRDS. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. You must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.